Welcome to the Authentic Health Coaching Show. My name is Tom Corson-Knowles, founder of Authentic Health Coaching. We want to thank you today for subscribing to the Authentic Health Coaching Show. So we have an amazing free gift for you with Dr. Corson's Top 5 Nutrition Tips. It is the number one guide to taking your health to the next level. And you can get your free copy at AuthenticHealthCoach.com. Now today on the show we have an absolutely incredible guest for you, Natasha Trenev. And Natasha is an expert in probiotics and probiotic health. And she's done many research studies and published in many peer-reviewed journals her research on probiotics. And she's also written the Probiotic Health Guide titled The Power of Probiotics, Secrets to Great Health, which she wrote in 2006. And she wrote the first pioneering book in the field of probiotics in 1990 called Probiotics, How Live Yogurt and Other Beneficial Bacteria Can Restore Health and Vitality. And that's exactly what this interview is about today, how to restore health and vitality in your life, how to strengthen your immune system, your digestive system, your entire body through probiotics. So it's an absolutely incredible interview today. It's really an amazing information that you really won't hear many other places because, like I said, is really the leader in her field. So take great notes and really pay attention to the information she's sharing because it can make a huge, huge difference in your life and in your health. So enjoy it and have a great day.
This is Dr. Candace Corson, medical doctor and health educator, and I have the huge privilege today to be interviewing Natasha Trenev, who is one of the foremost experts, really, I would say, in the world in probiotics, those good organisms. And Natasha, I just want to turn this over to you to share your background and how you came to really be a person that knows a lot about people's health with regard to probiotics in our yes. need for health today.
Absolutely. Very shortly, my family derives from Yugoslavia, my father being of Macedonian origin. And on my father's side of the family, they were involved in making cheeses and yogurts and a type of liquid acidophilus for hundreds of years in that region. And the family's products were so famous that, you know, in the 40s, the King of Yugoslavia designated my father's business as the direct supplier to the court of the king.
Wow.
And unfortunately, because of political instability and wars, my father decided that he needed to leave. And we came to the United States in 1955. And around in the early 1960s, he started a business called Continental Culture Specialists in Glendale, in which he made yogurt and liquid acidophilus. And we were really the pioneers because if you recall, in that era, most people didn't even know what yogurt was, let alone liquid acidophilus. And I was in junior high school and high school during those years and graduated from UCLA in 1970 and had a completely different career in mind. And my father came to me and said, listen, you've got to help me out. You know, we're still very small and people really don't understand what we're offering them here. So anyway, I was able to make the company grow 40 times over. And then I decided that I was so taken aback by how important this concept is that I decided to do research on my own. And in the mid-1970s, I was awarded the exclusive licensee of the University of Nebraska and their studies in the isolation of a single-strained lactobacillus acidophilus microorganisms.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the first in the country in 1982 to introduce this product to the American market and actually establish the category of probiotics in the North American market by educating and teaching people that it's not just about acidophilus, but that there's other beneficial organisms that are necessary for our bodies. And I continued my lectures in America, Canada, Mexico, Benelux, England, Singapore, Australia, and that's about it for then. So I really, did the what they call the missionary work to get this concept out to people in the early 80s and late 80s into the 90s.
And Natasha, that is so fascinating to me. You know, the word probiotics, many of us in holistic health today and many Americans who are wanting to learn about their health are becoming familiar with that word probiotics, meaning the good germs that we need in our intestine. But it sounds like that term really didn't even exist until you were working on this. Is that right? You really introduced that term, probiotic?
Yeah, well, the term existed, but it existed in the animal husbandry field. Mm-hmm. And I came to the conclusion, I said, well, if farmers are spending money to give this product to their cattle every day, they're doing this because it makes good business sense, keeps their animals healthy. And I said, why on earth wouldn't we as humans want to do this on a daily basis to keep ourselves healthy?
That makes a lot of sense. And you were sharing with me about the difference in numbers of cells between a human body and the microorganisms or little germs we carry in us in our
right.
intestinal tract. Could you share some about that?
Oh, yeah. It's very important for all of us to know. And it's incredible that if we went the numbers that we are 90% bacterial cells, we the human being, and only 10% human cells. We have approximately 100 trillion microorganisms that line the 27 feet of our gastrointestinal tract. And we have approximately 10 trillion bacteria on our skin. And we have, you know, tons of bacteria in every orifice, including our urogenital tract, our mouth, any orifice in the body. And, you know, it's really, once we understand this intimate relationship within, between this vast microbiome that it's called now and us, we will understand, you know, good health and longevity.
That is amazing. So that word is, I think, important for people to know, microbiome. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that means the whole thing together, our human cells and the...
It's our ecological system. You know, people talk about ecology, but I think many of us are ignorant how important the optimal balance of this ecology is in our body and on our body.
Absolutely. And even I see a lot of people, highly educated, wonderful people, using antibacterial soaps, you know, in their kitchen, in their bathrooms. And I often wonder, you know, if this is a great idea.
Right. Well, it's not a great idea because what it is, it has a component called triclosan. Yes, I believe that's the correct name of the chemical, which produces resistance. You know, bacteria are probably the smartest living entities on the planet. We thought that they were simple so that they were stupid, but they're actually quite intelligent. And if you try to destroy them, they learn ways to avoid that destruction. And they evolve very quickly and adopt, you know, things necessary for their survival. And this is why we have a huge problem with resistant bacteria today. I think we talked earlier about how, you know, in the 1940s when antibiotics were introduced, probably in the early 1950s, American farmers were introduced to the concept of giving antibiotics prophylactically to their cattle. And first they were sold on the idea that this was to keep the cattle healthy and not get sick. But then the farmer said, well, that's pretty expensive, you know, for me to just give to my cattle so that they don't get sick. But what really sold the farmer, and everybody found out serendipitously, that what these antibiotics actually did is help the cattle to gain weight and retain water. So the consensus is that, you know, by using antibiotics prophylactically, you are destroying the balance in your flora, thereby causing the animal to gain excess weight and retain water. And I give to you the hypothesis that isn't that true what we've done to our human population in the westernized country? We've indiscriminately given children antibiotics since the moment they're born. I don't know what the latest statistic is, but I'm sure that a child will probably get a dozen doses of antibiotics by the time they're two or three. And then, of course, by the destruction of that balance, we're seeing, you know, this explosion of obesity in the country.
Yeah. Yeah, it really makes you want to think about that connection and using antibiotics very, very carefully, only when absolutely necessary. Because that's interesting, what's happening to the cattle and us, it's really excess. When we say weight, you might actually say excess fat. Would you not agree? Excess fat and water retention?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I would absolutely say excess fat and water. And that's why you're having so many people who are interested in weight loss talking to people in probiotics, trying to figure out how is it that probiotics impact in regaining that balance and helping the person, you know, stay on a weight loss program.
Yeah. That is so exciting. So tell me some about how you're working. Well, first of all, you have set the industry, you set the standards in the industry in terms of not only integrity, but in terms of carefulness and scientific validation. And tell us some about that and even some of your work clinically, you know, where doctors are using your probiotics to help people get better from chronic conditions.
Yes, well, what it is that, you know, I was the first one to set the probiotic standard for the National Nutritional Foods Association, which is now called the Natural Products Association. And it was a standard for probiotics that was adopted by the entire voting membership, which consisted of retailers, manufacturers, brokers, for the entire national health food industry. And unfortunately, that standard was ignored by people who were selling probiotics and who weren't actually making probiotics. And then so we tried again in 1995. I published a standard in the Good Manufacturing Practices Guidebook that was eventually read into congressional record, another standard for probiotics, which is still being ignored to this day. So it's very important for the consumer to understand that, you know, paramount to ingesting these microorganisms, you've got to know the company that's producing them, and safety is the number one issue, and then efficacy. And I have always been of the opinion, and I think even the new FDA NDI guidance validates this position, that really, you know, the safest organisms come from either the lactobacillus or the bifidobacteria genera. Mm-hmm. But however, when you get organisms from this genera, they're very susceptible to damage from moisture and heat. And so they need to be packaged in dark brown glass, and they need to be transported so that they're kept cool to the touch and refrigerated whenever a refrigerator is present. And this is one of the hardest things we've had to deal with in the industry. That people have resorted to using what I call designer organisms, which those of us who are much more conservative feel it's unsafe because microbes always have their own agenda. And especially now we've seen some so-called new probiotic products that have as many as 7 yeast organisms. And I'm just confounded that with people in this country, in the health food industry that are antifungal and anti-yeast products to consume probiotics that have all this yeast, I think many of them don't understand what they're ingesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it really is something that if healthcare practitioners and patients really want to have the safest quality and the most known or researched ways of using probiotics, that they would want to go to the source of yourself, which is, you've researched this and made it your life's work, it sounds like. Would that be correct?
Yes. I've been doing this for 40 years.
Wow.
And believe me, if you ask people who've ever used the product, I mean, it's recommended by doctors at Cedars-Sinai. It's recommended by, doctors at the Integris Medical Center in Oklahoma, across the country, and even at the University of Alberta in Canada. I mean, people who are, experts in their field recognize that if you have an internationally certified product like we do, that, that equates to safety and efficacy.
Yeah, internationally certified. That is really neat. So is there a body that does that, international certification for probiotics?
Yes, absolutely. There's about 15 years ago, there was an international agreement that was signed by 27 countries in essence, to lower the trade barrier. So they had very strict guidelines, which is very similar to the pharmaceutical standard in this country. And the agency that audits on behalf of all these 27 countries is the Australian Therapeutic Goods Administration.
Oh, yeah. I know they're very strict. I've heard a lot about them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we as a company, Natron as a company, is certified by the Australian government, and we're audited every 2 years, and the auditor comes here and spends 3 days going through every SOP, standard operating procedure, every lab book, everything, stability test, you name it.
And Natasha, would you share where are you located in the United States?
Yes, we're located in beautiful Westlake Village, California, which is sits right on the boundary of L.A. County and Ventura County. And we can be seen off the freeway. We're a small, you know, family-owned business, and probiotics is our specialty. We don't do anything else. We do anything affiliated with beneficial bacteria. We have probiotics for infants, for adults in various capacities. We have, vaginal products. We have animal products. We have face creams. So everything to do with probiotics, that's the only thing we do.
Mm-hmm. And what would be some of the different forms that your probiotics would come in? For example, for infants, would there be a liquid form or little pearls, or how does that work for different age groups?
For infants, we always use powders, and then we give directions how these powders can be mixed either with formula or breast milk or put into the cereal. And I believe that powder is the best delivery system for infants.
Mm-hmm. And I do too.
Pardon me?
I'm the same way. I believe in powdered, good powdered things for infants that will give them health and they won't have any choking problems and so forth.
Right. Absolutely. I don't believe in giving an infant anything but powders. And the thing is that the minute you put the probiotic into a liquid state, it has a very short shelf life.
Right.
Because they multiply so quickly. Mm-hmm. So you have to keep them in a very dry powder. In fact, the powders are like 18% drier than the Mojave Desert, if I can give you an analogy.
That's
and
great.
The reason they're kept so dry and cool is because you don't want to wake up the bacteria until it goes into a open-ended system like your body, because there's food coming in and waste going out. In a bottle or a capsule or a tablet, none of that is happening. So if you wake up the bacteria prematurely, they're going to go very quickly through that food and die.
Very exciting that you've got this worked out over so many years. And Natasha, you had shared with me some of the conditions, and I know you don't treat medical conditions, but doctors that utilize your probiotics with patient bases do, and you're involved in research in such things as acne and such things as celiac disease. Would you be willing to share some of that?
Yeah, well, we're into extensive, you know, clinical trials. We just finished a clinical trial on acne, which has been accepted for poster board presentation at the American Academy of Dermatology, which will be presented next February in San Diego at their national convention. And it has been submitted for publication in one of the most prestigious dermatology journals in the country. And we're hoping that we get that. Now, we're almost 99% certain that since it's been accepted for poster board presentation, that it's going to be accepted for publication.
Mm-hmm.
And once that's done, then everybody can see the protocol. But basically, the probiotic was used in conjunction with an antibiotic and without the antibiotic, and it did very well.
So it did well without the antibiotic as well?
Right.
I think that's so exciting. I think people listening to this will be perking up their ears that we can help people get better by using probiotics, you know, in a very sophisticated way, consistent with nature and nature's elegance, many times instead of other pharmacologic means, including antibiotics. And my personal bias is that maybe it's not bias, life experience, we're going to get much further with health, wouldn't you say, and not sliding back with problems such as resistance and all kinds of complications from side effects from our drug therapies.
Oh, absolutely. We have to start using much more natural modalities and talk about reforming our healthcare system. I think people rely way too heavily on drugs, and you know, it's all about changing your lifestyle, figuring out what food you need to eat, how much you need to exercise, and what supplements you need to take. And I think you would see a major turnaround in the health conditions in this country.
That is so exciting. Do you have any kinds of literature or maybe books that you recommend to people if they want to grab a hold of this subject and learn more from a good source?
I have actually. You can buy two of my books. I've written three books. One is, you know, no longer in print, but I'm thinking of making it available in an e-book soon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can go to our website, and there's the two books are there for purchase. And, you know, I've been told that my earlier book, it's called Nature's Internal Healers, is used as a textbook in many chiropractic and naturopathic colleges across the country.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. And can you tell us the name of your website so people can write that down?
Yes, it's www.natrin.com.
And that's N like Nancy, A T like Tom, R E N like Nancy, natren.com.
Right. .com. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. And so people can actually purchase the two books in print right there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. And then we were going back to the clinical trials. I'll tell you the clinical trials were involved. We're involved in the celiac trial, which has concluded, and the blood samples have been submitted for testing, and that should be published, I'm hoping, by December or early part of January. We're involved in a huge, what they call gastrointestinal distress symptoms trial, where we talk about gas, bloating, cramping, diarrhea, acid indigestion in a generally healthy population that suffers, you know, moderate to severe symptoms of these problems.
Wow.
So we've got about a half a dozen sites across the country, then that trial is about to begin.
That is so exciting, because I've often thought, you know, we're missing the mark if we just try to use antispasmodic drugs to help the intestinal muscles stop contracting, or we're working outside of where the real problem is. And even, Natasha, one of the things dear to my heart is issues of maternity, being a family doctor for many years, OB-GYN care, and so many of the babies having severe GI distress that disturbs the entire family, and the child suffers, everyone suffers. And we're hearing now about probiotics being maybe the solution for that. Do you have any insight on that?
Yes. As a matter of fact, a good friend of mine, Dr. Calvin Hobel, who's the head of the obstetrics and gynecology department at Cedars-Sinai, called me recently. I mean, he's been recommending our products since 1989.
Wow.
And he wants to do a three-continent study on improving the health of the mother, because unfortunately most people are unaware that we have a huge infant health crisis in this country. We're like 37th in the world on the health of our infants. And so, you know, I think it's a huge area that we need to focus on, because if we're giving birth to unhealthy children, then it's really going to tax our entire, you know, medical system.
Absolutely. And we're seeing an awful lot of full-term babies who are having tremendous problems with eating, feeding, swallowing. People are calling it GERD, gastroesophageal reflux, and then you're just not knowing what else to do. Many physicians are using antacids or inhibitors of acid formation, which, of course, if you really do that for any length of time, you're not going to be able to absorb the nutrients you need. But do you have any experience with that in terms of neonates and GI distress, even apart from colic?
You know, not firsthand, but I've been told by a number of hospitals who do use the product.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to me it's frightening that a six-month-old child can have projectile vomiting. And, you know, that they put the child in a H2 inhibitor.
Right.
Or
a block acid
pump inhibitor. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, they don't even have a well-formed GI tract, and to do that, it just disrupts everything.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, I know everyone, we all as human beings, we all do better when we know better, and I hope that this interview will help open minds and show people paths where they can read more, learn more, be in touch with what you're doing. I know you have lots of other things to share, and we've got a few more minutes here, so anything else that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I think what it is, it's important to know that every field of medicine can be affected by probiotics, including, urogenital health, where you have issues of, C. difficile infection in hospitals. In fact, we have a large trial that's stopped now because of lack of funding, but on C. diff prevention in the hospital setting when they're given antibiotics, and they have even bigger troubles when they get into organ transplant areas. So that's an area we're exploring. We're also exploring giving the products to infants to increase their gastrointestinal health. As I said before, we have a big problem in this country with the health of the infant. And so those are all the areas that we're exploring right now, and there's probably many more applications that are coming. But I think what's coming down the pike, if I could leave your listeners with anything, is that it's very important that you know who you buy your probiotic from, that they're only using safe microorganisms, not soil organisms and not yeast organisms. I think that's going to be a huge controversy now with these new proposed dietary ingredients guidance documents from the FDA. And make sure, if people throw in what I call an alphabet soup of names of microorganisms in a probiotic product, and that's inappropriate, because unless you know what each organism is for and what the guaranteed potency of each organism is, it really does not make the product better. It makes it diluted and less effective, and it's an industry hype or a marketing gimmick that they've been pushing for the last maybe 20 years. Trying to get people to, they think that if they buy a product that has more microorganisms in it, it's better. No, because all of the research is in on the single strains and controlling the organism and its environment to give you the health benefits.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And do you ever have any of the doctors or patients want to have a probiotic that is free of casein or dairy products? Is that an issue at all? Do you use soy-based ones or dairy-based?
We have a dairy line and we have a non-dairy line, which is completely free of any dairy residue that's grown in a chickpea base.
Oh,
completely
great.
Vegetarian base.
Okay.
And then our premier product, which is called the Healthy Trinity, is a concentrate of three bacteria micro-enrobed in an oil matrix and then encapsulated in a two-piece hard gel capsule. It's the only technology in the world. And so what this micro-enrobing by the oil does is it protects the survival of the organisms when they're attacked by the harsh conditions in the stomach.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And would this be
And also the organisms are bio-resistant, and if everybody remembers, their Physiology 101 course that, oil is emulsified by the action of bile. Mm-hmm. And so if your organisms are bio-resistant, you almost have 100% of survival. So it's not only important that you clearly state and guarantee each organism, but that this organism comes in some kind of a validated protective mechanism. And oil, you don't have to do extensive research to show that oil protects these organisms, because we know from physiology that oil is not digested in the stomach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And most of the doctors get that right away.
That is exciting. Do you see any movement here in the United States or other countries where physicians are wanting to have patients be on probiotics anytime they have to be on antibiotics? If they have to really be on antibiotics, there is a time and place. We way overuse them. But when they have to use antibiotics, do you see a need or education is happening where the doctors are countering the negative effects with using probiotics during and after therapy?
Yes, I am. I'm seeing it trending upwards. And what we generally recommend, we tell the doctor that if they give an antibiotic, they should give the probiotic 2 hours after, because there's going to be some killing. But what we tell them is you want to reserve those parking spaces on the intestinal wall, because you know it's like launching a holocaust on the internal environment when you take especially a broad spectrum antibiotic. And so then when they finish the antibiotic regimen, which we always encourage people to finish if they're put on one, then you double up or triple up on the probiotics for at least 2 to 3 weeks thereafter to make sure that you've handled any potential disturbance that might have occurred.
Fantastic. I remember reading of a study, you know, showing in terms of long-term changes that are not good for us, one course of antibiotics in a child under 1 year old, this was out of Canada, doubles the lifetime risk of asthma, one course of antibiotics under age one. And I think it's, you know, that we've changed the microflora, we've damaged them, they're not the same anymore. Immune function has been changed because that's an intrinsic part of our immune system, is those wonderful complex, that ecosystem that we walk around being every day, and you now have irritability or upregulation of the immune system, which is more irritable. And if we could, number one, avoid using those antibiotics when we can, but number two, at least protect not only babies but all ages from the bad consequences, wouldn't that be an enormous health savings in our country?
Well, absolutely. There's been research to show that the Bifidobacterium fantus is the most desirable natural inhabitant of a healthy breastfed infant. Mm-hmm. And we found that that organism really helps to downregulate the immune system, because this hyperactivity of the immune system, as you know, causes all kinds of trouble later on in life.
Yeah. That is so exciting. It's just an enormous field, isn't it, Natasha?
It's an enormous field, and the problem is that the industry is not regulating itself enough, and the government is now coming in and trying to overregulate. So it is an exciting field, and I'm praying and hoping that we get more doctors on board, because I think this really is the foundation of health, because we know in the GI tract you have your second brain, and we know that according to psychology publications that 60% of schizophrenia is caused by an imbalance in the GI tract, and compulsive obsessive disorders, even bulimia and anorexia are caused by disturbances in the GI tract.
Wow. And we do know that a lot of people with autism, their GI effects that may start prior to that. I mean, it's a huge, wide-open field, but there's some connection of the gut, the immune system, brain function. They're certainly all connected, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm convinced personally that there is a thread. You know, I've worked about 9 or 10 years ago with a premier pediatric gastroenterologist and a woman who had a child who was became autistic after it was born, was not born autistic. And she was the one that established the germ theory about how her son was infected with a Clostridium tetani organism and developed autism as a result of it.
Wow. Wow. Do you know how that infection occurred with the Clostridium tetani?
Yeah, what happened is she apparently had the child on antibiotics, and the child was playing in dirt and happened to swallow some dirt.
And wasn't able to fight that very well because of the antibiotics being present?
Well, yeah, what happened, if you want to hear the whole story, I was asked by Dr. Sidney Feingold at that time, who is known as the father of anaerobic microbiology, to act as the probiotic consultant to this Midwestern, you know, hospital. And this woman, her name is Ellen Bolte, and I'm trying to think that it's been like 9 or 10 years, and I think the physician's name was a Dr. Sandler, trying to remember the hospital. So what Dr. Sandler recommended is that the boy be given vancomycin. And I said, okay, but remember that, you know, Clostridium tetani is a spore former. And I said, you give them a vancomycin without, you know, the therapy that I told them about, giving them the probiotic 2 hours later, I said, you're going to build the resistance, and once you do that, the probiotic will not be able to help that much. Mm-hmm. So they didn't listen. They gave the child the vancomycin for about 3 months, and the child had in tremendous recovery of, you know, it was able to be potty trained, was able to be taught to speak and what's not. But after 3 months, they started seeing the sliding back. As I suspected, you know, the organism started to sporulate, and that was that. And then they ran and they gave them the probiotic, but we were, you know, only able to stop some of the sliding back. We weren't able to reach that optimal level that we were hoping for. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, you know, and the rationing at that time, the rationale by Dr. Sandler was that, well, we can't test too active. And I said, Matt, well, this is not a lab rat, this is a child. So what if you're, you know, it goes counter to your, you know, scientific, you know, proof? I said, you're dealing with the life and health of a child.
Yeah, so you were really recommending use the probiotic in conjunction with the antibiotic.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's exciting when we see doctors now learning that from each other. I recently heard of a friend of mine had a friend whose child had a dog bite, a boy about 8 years old. He eventually did very well, but in the meantime, he had a bad infection of one of his arms. And eventually, he was seen at the Toronto Children's Hospital in Toronto, Canada, Canadian citizen. And when he was put on the last and final antibiotic, which did help him get rid of his infection, he was also put on some good probiotics. And this was at the this very top referral hospital, Children's Hospital in Toronto. They're routinely using probiotics now whenever they use antibiotics, and I found that very heartwarming. And of course, the child has done very well, and we might wonder, you know, is part of it that he had good probiotic coverage along with that last prescription of antibiotic?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, I've been doing, like I said, this for 40 years, and I would recommend to everybody that you first of all, don't use a spore-forming probiotic when you're taking antibiotic. That's a no-no. Make sure that, you know, you understand what you're buying, and you're buying it from the safe genera. And then, you know, religiously, if you have to take antibiotics, always take the probiotic 2 hours afterward, and make sure when you finish your antibiotic dosing that you double up or triple up on the probiotics.
Yes, and how long would you do that? I mean, it probably depends on how long they've been on antibiotics, how sick they are, and so forth. But would
you know, I always say do it at least for 2 to 3 weeks. But, you know, basically, if you've ever done antibiotics, you should be on probiotics for the rest of your life.
And even that's the way I look at it, too, interestingly.
Yeah, because I think we talked earlier that the dynamics in that, you know, 100 trillion organisms that live in your GI tract changes by our stress level, our aging, what we ingest, you know, what we experience during the day, what the prescriptive and non-prescriptive drugs we're taking or herbs, all of that affects that, you know, flora. And then on top of that, 40% of your dry weight fecal matter is bacteria. So you're shedding dead cells and stuff inside your intestinal tract along with bacteria that's being excreted. So you have a very dynamic, you know, ecosystem going on in your body that you don't give a moment's thought to during the day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it may be that one of our greatest hopes in terms of wellness of our population and recovering health from people who are already clearly sick will be this understanding of probiotics that you're bringing to the world and the level of excellence of the products. And then the connection, I'm excited about that connection that you have with practicing medical physicians, and not only through the United States, but different countries, where you're actually working together, collaborating on research projects, and then you are a supplier, am I correct, to that physicians who know about your products can use them for patients. Could you tell a little bit about how that works?
Oh, absolutely. We have a professional division, and the doctor can opt to either carry the products or have us drop ship it to their patient, and we're always happy to assist them to you know, give directions to the patient and assist them in dealing with the patient's issues so that they can be resolved.
That's fantastic. So that the patient actually gets it drop shipped perhaps to their home?
Yes.
And uses it according to the directions of the probiotic and also the physician's understanding of what they need.
Right. And I want to remind everybody that, you know, we ship second day air, and it's always comes thermally packaged and cool to the touch to your door.
So you're getting that, really the strength and the quality that you need instead of having it perhaps be lost even in a single transit.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, most people don't realize that. The statistics by the AAA, and I don't mean Alcoholics Anonymous, I mean the Automobile Club of America, was that if you, you know, and I think this was done for children and for animals, that if the temperature is 80 degrees outside, if you lock your car, which is what happens when you put stuff in a UPS or a FedEx truck or a U.S. mail truck, you know, within 20 minutes inside the car, is 120 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you tell me what perishable product can survive that.
Yeah. People don't realize that that's going to be very destructive to. So that's really, we can say that's happening to a lot of probiotics, even though we don't realize that no one intends it, that they've already lost perhaps a lot of their function by that one or two truck transits.
Yeah. Well, just imagine, you know, usually truck transit several hours in heat. And, you know, 9 months out of the year, the southern half of the United States, I can assure you, reaches 80 degrees and plus. So sometimes those products are exposed even to 140 degrees plus. Plus, when they're not marked perishable or needing refrigeration, they're left on the doorstep of people at home unprotected or at the back of a health food store or wherever, where it bakes for another several hours or maybe even days.
Yeah, that's right. So really we're talking about good, cool storage and then in the refrigerator once you get probiotics home.
Right. And, you know, actually when you think about, there's a lot of things that need continuous refrigeration, including our essential fatty acids, you know, omega oils, those things like, you know, a bee pollen, all of those things need to be refrigerated continuously. I tell people, you know, If you're selling natural, raw, organic stuff, all of it needs to be refrigerated because how, you know, if you're not using preservatives, how are that thing staying fresh?
Exactly, exactly. As my mom used to say, who was a pharmacologist and taught medical students, you know, anything that's really excellent food, you know, unless it's a special dried kind of thing, even that needs to be cool and not wet, or microorganisms will grow in it immediately. But it's going to,
exactly.
Anything really good for you is going to be perishable always.
Yeah, and I said, well, what do you think perishable foods are refrigerated? For one thing, to stop the growth of the microbes. And I said, the same thing applies to beneficial bacteria. You don't want them to grow in a closed environment where they have no new food coming in. Well, once they use up all the available food, they're going to die.
Yeah, yeah. And that's going to be bad, too.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's a lot of ignorance, and we have to teach people. And I think that the field of probiotics really is the hope and aspiration for natural medicine of the future. I think definitely in the 21st century, probiotics will be to medicine as antibiotics were in the 20th century.
Oh, can you say that one more time? That's huge.
Yeah, I, you know, in my personal opinion, I think that probiotics will be to the 21st century what antibiotics were to the 20th century.
Wow, that's profound. That's profound. And I hope that this will be something that will be taught in medical schools. Are there any fields right now where this is being taught kind of on a regular basis, or any countries that are maybe doing that?
You know, not that I'm aware of, but that's a great thought, you know, because unfortunately most doctors don't understand microbiology, and they even understand probiotics even less.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them have the wherewithal that they appreciate the glass bottles and the, you know, continuous refrigeration of the product, et cetera. But short of that, they don't really have a deeper understanding.
Yeah, I can really understand that. Well, I think we've shared a lot today. I look forward to a long collaboration with you in terms of learning more, sharing this information out into the world. And what is the best way for people to learn more from you, reach you, or just learn more about probiotics? Would it be, again, to go to your website?
You can go to our website, and there's a feature called Ask Natasha, and we do answer those emails. You know, I do have a clinical trial manager, and we have technical people on staff. Our medical director is a clinical pharmacist, so we're happy to answer your questions. And you can always call. We have a toll-free number at the company. They can always call. We have, I'm very proud to say, trained people that will help you make the correct decision. And that's 866, the number 4, and the word Natren, N-A-T-R-E-N. And they can find us also across the country in Whole Foods and vitamin shops. So it's their choice. And, of course, we have a physician's label that goes to directly to physicians, and we assist physicians in, helping their patients out and teaching the physicians how to use the product.
Fantastic. So, again, people can find you at Whole Foods, the products at Whole Foods and Vitamin Shop, and they can go directly to your website, www.natren.com, and that toll-free number, 866-4, Natren, N-A-T-R-E-N. That is wonderful.
And believe it or not, you can actually speak to live bodies, and you don't have to be stuck in live and voicemail hell.
That is wonderful. It's wonderful. I just think if people can start learning these things, I think moms, dads, parents, teachers, they can start sharing this with the people that they know and care about. And my hope is that it will lead to a really much deeper appreciation of the complexity and elegance of nature, you know, just incredibly elegant, complex, to the point where I don't know if we'll ever, I personally don't think we'll ever as human beings understand all of it, and I think that's fine, but to have a greater reverence for it, in that way maybe we can work more with it and then have much better health, much less suffering, much less illness, better longevity. And of course, we're all looking at our skyrocketing costs now. We call it healthcare, but we know it's sick care, and everyone wants to do a better job with that. And I do think the power in that is going to be not so much figuring out how to pay for what is impossible to pay for, which is the amount of illness we have today from the babies up through all ages, but increasing the health, increasing the wellness.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's how it's going to be.
I think, you know, personal responsibility for health, starting with the parents, you know, watching what the kids eat, you know, what supplements they take, and you know, learning what symptoms, and then working in conjunction with their doctor. I very much support the return of the family practice doctor, where he knows the or she knows the whole family and has their history and does not spend 5 minutes trying to diagnose a symptom and giving you a pill for it.
That's going to be something that's going to be very special for all of us, to take more charge of our health through better knowledge. And I just hope everyone has really enjoyed this time with Natasha Trenev regarding this incredibly important, perhaps centrally important part of our health, which is these really treasure of ecology, of these good little microorganisms. And Natasha, at one point, I think you told me about 1,000 so far are known of these important good bacteria. Is that correct?
Well, no, not 1,000 bacteria. We've identified 1,000 species of microbes that live in various combinations in people's GI tracts, but there's a lot of them we haven't even identified.
Exactly. Exactly. So the complexity is just beyond our comprehension, and we need to be restoring that or maintaining or protecting that complexity, would you say?
Yes. And I think that, you know, like I said, we have to learn about, you know, what we've done wrong to sabotage that, you know, very important passage of, you know, this bacteria from the mother to the child, and how that's, you know, led to all these, you know, health problems that we have.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. But Natasha, I just appreciate your time today, your expertise. Thank you for being so generous with your time. And I hope everyone will pursue learning as much as they possibly can about this topic. And the goal will be better health at all ages for a long time into the future. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure, and I look forward to working with you.
Hey there, it's Tom Corson-Knowles again. Hope you absolutely enjoyed the show today with Dr. Trenev. and took some really great notes on probiotics, and hope you'll take action and start getting more probiotics in your family's diet and in your health, because it just makes an absolutely huge, huge difference. And, you know, we've been taking probiotics for many years in our family because it just makes so much sense. I mean, the research is really so strong on why probiotics are so beneficial for good health. And again, we want to thank you for subscribing to the Authentic Health Coaching Show on iTunes. So we want to offer you Dr. Corson's Top 5 Nutrition Tips Report for free. You can get your free copy at AuthenticHealthCoach.com. And come join the community of like-minded people like you, like myself, like Dr. Corson, Dr. Trenev, who are just passionate about good health and good nutrition. Come join us at AuthenticHealthCoach.com. If you have any questions at all, you can ask us there, and we'll be happy to get back to you. We're absolutely committed to your health, and I hope you are too. So make it an absolutely incredible day. Take care.